Hour number two of the Blitz continues here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. If you would like to join the program like Josh did earlier, give us a call, 865-546-8200. All right. I'm going to be honest. Everything in me right now wants to get back into this ghost story, but we're not. We're going to save it. But it is really funny. I'm really dying to get back into it. I want to at some point later on. But first, I want to pose a question to you guys. Now, this is not based on some big news story that dropped today or yesterday or recently. This is not based on kind of anything else. This is kind of just a hypothetical question, and I also want to get the pulse of the people on it. So I'm going to put a poll up on our Twitter, at Fox Sports Knox. And I think this is fun. Ben Lee and I were talking about this earlier. My roommates and I were talking about this yesterday. I think this is kind of a fun conversation to throw around because really it could go either way. So my question that I want to pose to you guys and that I will put in the poll is this. As everything stands today, June 26th at 11:02 a.m., which team is more likely to finish next season in the top 25 between Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball?
You're not going to like this, but both.
Boo.
Oh, no. Hey. Whatever.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
But, that's not the question.
It may not be the question, but I do think that both will finish in the top 25.
Who are you more confident in?
More confident. I have equal confidence in both
Boo.
Sports.
Boo.
Yeah, so I do think that. All right, so look at it. Look at this way.
Pick a side.
Tennessee has a pretty favorable non-conference schedule. We'll get to that later. We were talking about that later when we look at like non-conference, the easiest non-conference schedules in college football this year. They had a pretty good one. We know what it is. Start off with Georgia State, BYU. You got UAB coming in here. You know, we were looking at that in the beginning of the week. Six games maybe just from some of the cupcake non-conference opponents. So I think they'll have a chance to maybe get to 8 wins and 9 wins with a bowl berth. Maybe. That's really high expectations. I really think it's somewhere around 7 wins, 8 wins with a bowl win. So that I think could put them in the top 25. Also, Rick Barnes. We've talked a lot about that. Rick Barnes' crew. There's so many question marks. Josiah James. We don't know anything about him, although he's highly touted. He's a 5-star. Then we got DJ Burns. He's going to finally get some action. How is he going to play? Then we had somebody called the other day and said they knew for a fact that they don't like DJ Burns' play right now. So there's a lot of things. Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden, can they pull this team? Can they will this team to a lot of games, just the two of those guys? It's going to be tough. I guess more confidence if you just really want me to pick one. I think equally they both will in top 25. But Brandon wants me to pick one.
That was the question.
I'm going to go with basketball.
All right, so chances is saying both, which is a very fair argument. But so far, one vote for basketball. Brandon.
Let me look at the football schedule real quick.
It's pretty favorable when you look at the non-conference schedule.
I want to say football. As things stand right now without Kerry Blackshear.
Yeah.
If they get Kerry Blackshear, I'm going basketball all the way.
I would agree.
But as things stand right now, I think they have a good chance to kind of rattle off a few toward the end of the season. If that Missouri game wasn't the next to last game, because I don't see them winning that one. Because I do think they get South Carolina, UAB, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. And, I mean, that you win 4 games in a row toward the end of the season, you're probably ranked. Let's just say you had a decent start to the season, where we all think they could be.
Yeah.
I'll say football.
Okay.
I'll say football. I think they have a decent enough year, and I think they kind of close out strong. And maybe even if they drop that Missouri game, I still think that they could be ranked.
So ultimately, I think this question boils down to like, what is your win-loss prediction for football, right? Because there's so many games to the basketball schedule that, and so much harder to kind of break down the schedule, right? And it's not as, you're not looking at wins or losses being as impactful straight up, right? Like you lose one of your games, and that is one of 12 games on your schedule. I think like a huge thing for Tennessee is these first six games, right? Into kind of getting yourself into the top 25. Because I seriously doubt that you're going to be in the top 25 to start out the season. And so you have three games, which should be wins. And then you have Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State. Georgia, we can assume it's probably a loss. Then you have Mississippi State and Florida. For Tennessee to finish the season in the top 25, I think you have to have that good start, because that good start carries you into what the rest of the season will be. So like that Florida game and the Mississippi State game are incredibly crucial for that. I don't like if you beat Florida, right? You have snuck into the top 25 after 4 weeks.
I would say the BYU game is more important than the Florida game, just because it's on the road. And
BYU game is in Knoxville.
Yeah, I think if I was saying the Florida game.
Gotcha.
Florida game's on the road. I think if you beat BYU, and then you're going into that Florida game 3-0, I think you're ranked going into the Florida game. Probably. Depends on how everything else shakes out around the country. But I do think you're, if not, you're very close to being ranked. And then I don't think you necessarily have to win that Florida game. I do think the Mississippi State game, though. Mississippi State and South Carolina.
I think you have to win one of the two between Florida and Mississippi State to be ranked going into Alabama. You know that's probably going to be a loss, but I can't imagine that it would take too much off your ranking. Like say you head into Alabama at maybe 18, 17, right? Say you lose to Florida, or say you lose to Florida on the road, you lose to Georgia. You know, those are two tough games for anybody, but then you come home, you finish, you bounce back against Mississippi State. You know, you're around 17 to 18 against Alabama. You lose that one, it's on the road. I don't imagine that one's going to shake you down too far.
So can I get clarification for just a second?
Sure.
What's the question again? Which team is more likely to be ranked?
To finish in the top 20, in the top 25.
To finish in the top 25, okay.
Which program? The football program, right, or the basketball program?
That's what I thought. I was making sure that it was finished.
When you look at all deciding factors right now, which would you have more confidence to finish in the top 25?
My vote is for basketball. For the sole reason of, first off, I know that there are things that are certainly trending upwards for Tennessee football. And I do not discredit that. I don't push that under the rug. Nothing like that. I Chance, I'm even kind of in the same boat that you are, and say that I wouldn't be surprised if we did finish well, because there are a lot of components. But
yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm still in the boat of I will only believe it when I see it. After a 4-8 and after a 5-7, right? And so for me, it is easier for Tennessee basketball to stay in the top 25 over the course of a longer season, for Tennessee football to get into the top 25 and then stay there. Does that make sense? Because I do believe that Tennessee's going to start the basketball team will start the season in the top 25.
I don't know if I believe that.
It will be close. I know ESPN put out an article just last month where they have Tennessee right at 25. And so you're going to be right there on the fringe. But I think, obviously, within a couple of games, you probably play your way in. And so that's kind of just where I stand on it.
My thing with the basketball team is I have faith in Rick Barnes. So there's that. The football, with the football schedule, I don't think you have to win the Florida game to end up ranked. I mean, because I think if you win those first three, like I said, I think you get ranked. And then I think you kind of bounce around through the month of October, and if you can close strong in November, then I think you finish the season ranked. I think if you got to start and finish strong, and then kind of hold your own in the month of October with Mississippi State and South Carolina.
What did Fulmer say? You get remembered for November. They remember what you do in November, right?
Yep.
That's when it matters.
The Missouri game is the only one that gives me pause. Because it's the second to last game of the season.
Yeah, and that is on a November 23rd. It is going to be 3 degrees Fahrenheit there, probably. Like, that is going
It'll
to be a miserably cold game.
It will be cold. I don't know. Now y'all have me wanting to change my answer.
Well, change it if you want to.
I don't. I'll stick with football.
I mean, it's not like...
Because the question is, as it stands right now.
Yes, and I am saying that because Kerry Blackshear is not committed anywhere yet.
With the addition of Kerry Blackshear, I 100% changed my answer to basketball, and I think it's no doubt that it's basketball finishes in the top 25.
Yeah, I would agree. Although I do... Man, like, I do... My heart... Like, with everything in me, my heart wants to say football, though. And maybe that's just the nature in me... To love the football team really more than I love anything else. And I look at the schedule, and Chance, you brought it up a second ago, but it's in the top 10 of the easiest non-conference schedules. Those are games that you should win.
Yeah, like I said, that's something that we can talk about the next segment. ESPN ranked the easiest non-conference schedules for next year. And they also, Chris Lowe, East Tennessee guy, is on the beat for Tennessee. He also has Tennessee. He did 2019 predictions for superlatives. Be interesting. We'll talk about what he said about Tennessee there too. So
yeah, I'm interested to know what
those are. There's a lot of factors that Tennessee could go. It could go a lot two different ways. And I mean, obviously these obvious ways. They got a really good season. They got a really bad season. But I really think they could be a 6-6 team. Or they can win 8 games in a regular season and win their 9th game in a bowl game. It really could line up like that. They set the schedule up perfectly for a second-year head coach this year. It really is perfect.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Also, this is something that we could pose to listeners, and you know, we'll throw this around. With one of the easiest schedules non-conference in the country, how much pressure does that put on Jeremy Pruitt that you should have a damn good season next year and there should be no excuses? Cards are in your favor.
Yeah, it is. I totally agree. Like, we kind of, when you are doing what you're doing with the non-conference, and I know that, you know, BYU is not a slouch by any means, and that is a lot of a game that certainly a lot of people are looking forward to as a tone setter for what the season will hold. You know, again, like, everything in me wants to pick the football team. I look at this schedule and I think to myself of all the games that we should win. You know, although that we've played that game with ourselves a couple of years in the past. These are all the games that we should win, and so to me, it's just no matter how much I want to, I can't believe it until I see it, and I desperately hope to in 2019.
Well, I mean, the updated number for Tennessee for wins in football from FanDuel Sportsbook is 6.5. I think it leans more towards 7. I think if Tennessee's 8-8. I do think they're ranked. I think it's fringe top 25 if they finish 7-5. It would depend on the other teams that were in that 25-24 range, whether or not they were ranked. But I don't know. We'll see.
More on this coming up later in the show. We're gonna catch a quick break. This is the Blitz Fan Run Radio. Can be done. 11:18 a.m. here on the Blitz. Go visit our poll on the Twitter. The question at hand is, as everything stands today, which Tennessee team is more likely to finish next season in the top 25? 171 votes cast.
You sounded about 65 years old.
Why?
Go check out our poll on the Twitter.
On the Twitter world.
Hey, Twitter world.
He had a new video. Did you see the video?
I haven't.
What?
Oh, he's got a new one?
He's got a new one?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh.
The juice.
Oh, you've got to go. Next break, you've got to watch it.
The juice.
You've got to watch
it. It is our job as the official content provider and the O.J. Simpson guys of this station.
At the real O.J. 32.
Wow.
So in this one, he's talking about Michael Jackson.
We might bring you this audio next segment.
Yesterday,
Michael Jackson.
Yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of Michael Jackson's death. He's talking about Michael Jackson. He's talking about.
Hey, Twitter world, this is.
He's talking about.
Hey, Twitter world.
The.
Hey, Twitter.
All the controversy around.
Juice, we get it. We get it. All right,
around
Juice,
Michael
calm down.
Jackson
we're gonna talk
recently.
About you soon.
Hey, Twitter world.
Juice, watch it.
Easy
we're
Juice.
Talk about you.
Easy Juice. We'll let you loose soon, Juice.
No. We're not letting the juice loose.
Yeah, please don't.
So he talks about MJ this time. That's
and
amazing.
He's like, from what he knows of Michael Jackson, he was a nice, kind
person.
Oh,
man, it's entitled Rest in Peace, Michael. He's always on a golf cart.
And I don't think he's ever done this in any of the other videos. Fast forward to like the last 10 seconds of the video, Chance, please. So he's...
Is it safe for radio? Could we just play it live?
Yeah, but I mean we can play it next segment.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I was saying, is it safe?
Yeah, I mean there's no cursing or anything.
Okay.
It's just funny. Just watch the last 10 seconds. You don't even have to play the audio of it. But he's talking in the golf cart, and whoever he's talking to is holding the phone, and then he finishes up what he's saying, and he just drives off in the golf cart. The guy's still standing there with the phone. You seeing it?
He does.
He just drives off.
He's like, peace, I'm OJ.
Oh, I can't wait for this. Okay, stick around. Next segment, we will get into the juice. Anyways.
Hey, Twitter world.
Juice. Next segment, man.
Juice. Back to, we were talking a little bit about the easiest non-conference schedules in all of college football. Our guy, Chris Lowe, he ranked college football's easiest 2019 conference schedules. So we're talking about non-conference games. And this poses the question what we're talking about with Jeremy Pruitt. You know, this is where we're talking about what means success, what is expectations. So on this list, without further ado, the number one easiest non-conference schedule, that goes to Baylor. They play Stephen F. Austin. Texas, Antonio, Rice, you guys don't care about that. Indiana comes in at 2-3, Illinois, 4, Arkansas, get into the SEC. They play Portland State at home, Colorado State, San Jose State, and Western Kentucky, 4 cupcake games. We have Kentucky at running out number 5. They play Toledo, Eastern Michigan, UT Martin, and Louisville at home. Alabama, they start off the season versus Duke in Atlanta. They also play New Mexico State at home, Southern Miss, and also Western Carolina. The rich get richer. Ohio State, they will have the Fighting Lane Kiffins when they play them on August 31st. That actually might be something that you just want to watch just to see Lane Kiffin going up against Ohio State. Florida Atlantic, they also play Cincinnati and Miami of Ohio. They have the 7th easiest non-conference schedule. Penn State, number 8. They play Idaho, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. And then this is who you care about, the Tennessee Vols. The Vols, we've been talking about their schedule for weeks now. Getting closer and closer to football season. The Vols play Georgia State August 31st, September 7th, BYU. The 14th play Chattanooga, and also November 2nd play UAB. It goes on to say Tennessee's schedule looks to be much more manageable. That's what we were talking about, second season. Expectations will be a little bit better because it is the second season, got an easier schedule. The Vols join Arkansas as the only two teams in the SEC not playing a non-conference game against a Power 5 opponent or Notre Dame. So, the only teams in the SEC, Tennessee and Arkansas, do not play a non-conference game against a Power 5 opponent or Notre Dame.
Good.
And most notably, the home game against BYU replaces a neutral site game for the Vols. But yeah, I mean, like, this Tennessee, already being talked about as one of the easiest non-conference schedules. All those games are at home as well.
Good. It's about time.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I couldn't care less about strength of schedule. I don't care about
BPI. It doesn't matter in football.
We're not trying to get into no college football finals, all right? At the end of the day, we're going for wins. How do you get wins? You schedule easy
teams.
We are
trying to get into a college football playoff final. But I'd be like, but this
year.
Should this not place more expectations on Jeremy Pruitt and staff, or even more pressure? Because if they don't come out and win at least 7 games, what are you doing? You have one of the easiest non-conference schedules in the country. You don't play a Power 5 opponent non-conference at home at all. Yeah, they're all non-Power 5 schools.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. You know, like,
you have the SEC schedule, and that's tough, of course. But we're talking about 6 wins that you should be able to get before you even get to the thick of some of the SEC games. And then some of those games that you're talking about, some of them, hey, Tennessee might win this South Carolina game. Also might, you know, go ahead and win the Kentucky game. Could beat Missouri. Those are some maybes.
Could win the Kentucky game. Oh, don't make me have this conversation for the second time today.
I mean, we don't know, Brandon.
All right,
Terry Collins. He was hurt last year. They said, right?
Terry Wilson sucks.
Excuse me, not Collins.
Terry Wilson sucks.
We whipped their ass last year.
He was hurt. They said
Terry Wilson sucks.
He's not that good.
Here, okay,
we're
beating. I'm gonna have to have the conversation.
He's better than our quarterback
twice in the same
day. That's not true.
That is true.
I'm gonna have to have the conversation twice in the same day. If we cannot beat Vanderbilt and Kentucky this year, I'm out. I'm out on Pruitt.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
If they don't beat both of them?
Yes.
You are not out on Pruitt.
Yes, I am. Watch me.
Okay, on this day. And if you're not out on Pruitt, what kind of bet should you have to do, sir? I think we should add some stipulations here.
You name it. If he cannot beat Vanderbilt and Kentucky, he will not do anything here.
Barring some kind of...
This is crazy that I've had this same conversation and two people have disagreed with me today. I feel like what I'm saying is not that outlandish.
Barring some kind of wild injury, losing both of those games would be unbelievably inexcusable.
Yeah, but we say that, but Tennessee's also lost 3 years in a row to Vandy.
Okay, and it has to end now.
Okay, like...
Yeah. It has to end.
And they've
now.
Lost like four. It's like 5 out of 7 years to
but
Vandy.
But look, we're in year 2 and with a new revamped coaching staff. You have new recruits who are coming in. This is now solely Jeremy Pruitt's team. Like, he is in reins. They have been under a system for 2 years now. We cannot lose to Vanderbilt, and there is no reason that we do not go to Lexington when their team has taken a significant step backwards with the loss of, they had the number 4 overall pick in the draft. They lost their top rusher, Benny Snell. There's no reason, none, why we do not go up to Lexington and we don't beat Kentucky. And if you lose both those, I agree. There is something horribly wrong.
I'm not saying that if he loses to one of them that he will get fired after this season, because he probably won't. I'm just saying, if he can't beat both of them, if you lose one of those games, you might as well just hang it up. It'll be done after year 3. If you can't beat those two teams in year 2, if you can't beat Vanderbilt at home, and you can't go up to Lexington,
it's not your grandfather's Kentucky, Brandon. Stoops has got something a little bit going up there.
I don't care if it's not your grandfather's Kentucky. It's still Kentucky. You beat their best team in school history last year by 3 touchdowns.
At home.
I don't care.
At home.
I don't care.
You're not going to Kroger Field and beating them by 3 touchdowns.
I don't care if you beat them by 3 touchdowns.
They get up for the game.
I don't care. It's Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
You may not care, but they may lose.
And if they do, I'm done. I'm done with Pruitt. He will never do anything here.
Wow.
If you can't do it in year 2 against Kentucky and freaking Vanderbilt, you're not going to get it done. Might as well pack it. Go ahead and start packing now.
I agree.
I feel like that's not too much to ask.
They won by only 2 touchdowns. Like,
excuse me.
2.
It was 24-7, right?
No. Kentucky at Tennessee last year?
Yeah.
34-21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What am I thinking?
It's a much closer game than either of you.
But well, still, I
think they scored one late, didn't they? Because that game was not close.
I'm looking at the game log right here. Give me a second.
Either way, Kentucky takes a. It was 24-7. It was played on November 10th.
What the set on stats?
No, November 10th, 24-7.
SportsReference.com. I was looking at it. I don't know.
So you do go in there and you do assert your dominance against Kentucky. You get up to a 17-0 lead. I believe that they scored in the third quarter, then we scored in the third quarter, then nobody scored in the fourth. And you're right, Brandon. That was their best team. They have taken a step downwards, and we have been trending upwards. Who did we lose relevant? Really nobody. Who have they lost that's relevant? Their best offensive player and their best defensive player. Lexington is not a scary place to play. I do not believe that there is a significant home field advantage to Lexington, Kentucky. And so you're right. That is a game that if Tennessee loses, again, barring some major injury, barring something.
It's not going to be the end of the world if they lose. They could lose that game. And I'm not saying Lexington. Okay, dude, like. And half of you guys weren't even like you didn't even watch Tennessee like whenever in the heyday. Like, you guys are very young. It's different with what Stoops is trying to do. I do think that Tennessee's a better team. They should win.
Wait,
I
why
said
does
that
the past matter?
No, because that's what Brandon's relying on. He's saying it's Kentucky. It doesn't matter. It's Kentucky and Vanderbilt. So that's where you're correlating.
But that
what
is
the
mindset that Tennessee should have. Is that we are better than Kentucky?
Okay, but you're saying that because of past results. Am I correct? Because you've always been better than Kentucky.
Yeah, you have always been better than
okay,
Kentucky.
Okay, so that's why I don't understand what you were saying. But like what I'm saying is
what I'm saying is they had their best team in school
history. And you beat them.
Come in here
you
last
did.
Year.
You
They're
did.
Going to take a step back. A lot
they
of people
are.
Think that Tennessee will be taking a step forward this year. You should not lose to them.
You shouldn't lose, but you may lose. I never said that they should lose. I never said that Kentucky was better.
And I'm
you're over here like you're saying you're out. All I'm saying is they might lose.
And all I'm saying is if
I'm
they
being
do,
rational. I don't have on the orange goggles. I'm just being rational, and they
okay.
might lose.
I don't have on the orange goggles either. All I'm saying is if they do, you might as well just forget it. He's not going to do anything here if you can't beat them in year two. I'm sorry.
I don't think that means that he's not going to do anything here, though. You look at the class he's got coming in. I mean, like, if he were to lose Kentucky and he beats Vandy and they win nine games, does that mean he's not going to do anything here?
How are you going to get to nine games if you can't beat Kentucky?
If one of those losses is Kentucky that he has next year and they win eight games. I don't know. They win seven games. You telling me that he's not going to do anything, though? If they win eight games and one of those losses is Kentucky, you have no faith in the guy.
Not really, no.
All I think you're going to have a big issue with fan support if you lose against Kentucky because, again, you Tennessee beat them last year, right? We kind of have regained that mantra of, hey, like you might have gotten the better of us in a couple of our years where we had a lot of just discombobulation.
All you guys are like,
on.
Oh, let's. I'm waiting to see until Tennessee does it. I'm going to be waiting to see. I'm skeptical. But then you're so confident that they're just going to blow the doors off everybody?
No, I didn't say they were going to blow the doors off.
Neither of us said that we guarantee
saying,
or expect a win. We're just saying that if you lose, that's troublesome. Neither one of us said, you know, there's no way in hell that Tennessee doesn't go down
there. Well,
he said
he's out on him. So, like, you're saying that it should be a for sure win.
No, he's just saying that if they lose, then they're out. He's not saying that they will win without
a
fact.
I'm saying you should win that game.
You're saying it should be a for sure win.
You should win.
Okay, that's what you're saying.
But he's not saying they will.
I'm
you
not
should and they will are two
they
very
should.
Different
they
things.
They should beat Kentucky and they should beat Vanderbilt.
I said he's thinking that it should be a for sure win. Exactly. In your eyes, it should be a for sure win with them. You shouldn't be losing to Kentucky.
No.
That's what that means. You're thinking it should be that should be a W right now looking at it.
I mean, if you don't win it.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It's like you're saying it should be a W for sure.
Yeah, they should win.
And
should
if they
be
don't,
a guaranteed W.
There's going to be
you're
some
You're out
issues.
On Pruitt. Oh, I remember this. 6:20. I got it written down. 11:25. We will play the hits.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I have no problem with you holding me accountable for it.
I'm going to hold you accountable for it, Brandon. We're going to revisit this if they don't. Well, hey, they should win. You're right. They should definitely win it. But I just don't think that means that Pruitt's not going to be able to do anything if they were to come up short versus Kentucky. I just don't believe that. I think that the years to come and with the recruiting classes coming in, Harrison Bailey, the quarterback play that you should have coming in here at playmakers, that one game's not going to make me be out on it if they were to lose it.
Obviously, I think looking at one game in general, you know, is tough because if you lose the Kentucky game – you know, sure, maybe that's just a one-off. But also, if you're losing that game, I think there's it's kind of symbolic of bigger problems. If you lose to Kentucky, you're probably going to lose to Missouri. If you're on a two-game losing streak going into Vanderbilt, then maybe that significantly changes that game. Maybe you then lose that game. There's so many things that wrap around to it, and it's why closing is so important for Tennessee. I mean, we've been talking about if they're likely to be in the top 25. Well, to be in the top 25 to close the season, you got to close the season well. And so, you know, two of those games are Kentucky and Tennessee. I don't know. If you got an opinion, give us a call, 865-546-8200. Don't worry, we're closing the show in a fun way. We'll see you in a minute. This is the Blitz, Fan Run Radio.
Welcome back into the program. 865-546-8200. That is the number. Talking a lot of things today. Success for UT year two, looking at the easiest non-conference schedules in all of college football. Tennessee ranks number 9 in that, according to East Tennessee's Chris Lowe, ESPN. We're talking about that. Kentucky, Vandy, what Pruitt's got to do, all that and more. We even might have a little message from one OJ. Hey, Twitter world. It was really good, Brandon. Went back and listened to it just now during the break. Some really good stuff from OJ.
Oh, I forgot to look it up.
Some really
I didn't even hear you playing.
You just need to go ahead. Well, you don't have to wait, really, Rick. If you would like to hear it, I can go ahead and play it for you. It's some pretty good stuff. Do you want to hear from the juice?
Bring it.
Do you want to hear from the juice, man?
Give me the juice, but not too much.
Not too much
because
of the juice?
I'm only 22 years old. I'd like to live a little bit longer.
Okay. We're going to load this up. Sorry. Buffering. Here we go. He's on the golf course.
His family moved down the hill from me in Encino. And I'd see him around. I actually got to be good friends with Jermaine. Years later, I was playing tennis in my backyard with a neighbor when he got word that his nephew was sent home from summer camp because they found out he had cancer, and I guess it had something to do with insurance, and they couldn't have him at the camp. He got a little upset and said, Juice, we got to do something about that. So he came up with the idea. He called some of his friends. He was a celebrity. He called some of his friends. I called Michael. He was real hot there to see if he would help. And we got together to help.
He's showing a picture right now. It's a bunch of people in a bunch of 70s gear. Michael Jackson, the juice.
Appreciate your donation. Anyway, years later, my house was under siege by the media, and I had somehow got out.
Years later, when he might have killed his wife,
killed
that's when his house was under siege by the media.
Oh my God.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. We always have to say allegedly. But that's the juice checking in today.
So,
he's talking Michael Jackson, paying his respects. He ends the video saying, I can never have an opinion about Michael Jackson either way because he's a good friend.
Because you're both criminals.
He's a good man. Allegedly.
I guess you could say they are smooth criminals.
I see what you did there.
No, you're right. Oh, no. I was going to boo myself.
No.
Because it was silent. Thank you. Nice. So, let me get this straight. O.J. Simpson joins Twitter. Makes a Twitter video about how he's got some scores to settle and all this and that, right? Then he gets into, you get into his first three videos. These are the things that O.J. Simpson wants the world to know. That he is setting the record straight. First, that he is not the father of one of the Kardashians.
Well, you got to put that out there, man. Fake news, as Brandon likes to say.
Second, he wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes in fantasy football. Third, he wants to clear the air on Michael Jackson. Where is this going to go next? Nobody knows. He is going all over the place right now.
I know where it's going to go next. Him and all these videos he keeps making.
You think he's going to get a TV show?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. If not, I mean, it doesn't necessarily.
Is that his end game play?
I don't know if it's his end game play. I just think TV execs. Like,
people are looking at this.
Yeah, or I just think that people probably been thinking about it for a while. Not that it has to be anything network television oriented.
Sure.
I mean, it could be a documentary on Showtime, HBO, some type of series like that, like something like a Hard Knocks where they just follow OJ and be like, you know, a 12-part series, 6-part series, anything like that. Or it could be some independent person who wants to stream it. Everything is online now. It could just be a web series or whatever it's called. One of those.
You know who might pick it up?
Who?
Netflix. You know why they might pick it up? Because they might have a spot available starting 2021. Ladies and gentlemen, NBC announced yesterday that Netflix will be pulling The Office.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
I'm sorry, Michael, it's true! Your show is gone. Starting 2021. So that's kind of a long time away.
God, please, no! No!
Mike, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Netflix is shutting down Dunder Mifflin.
Eh, not exactly.
Well, they're...
NBC's pulling it.
You know what I mean.
Are they making their own standalone streaming network like Disney
NBC
and everybody
Universal.
Else?
NBC Universal.
Makes sense.
Breaking news. Out of the NBA, Kevin Durant has declined his $31.5 million player option and will become an unrestricted free agent. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this was expected, right? He technically still could go back to Golden State.
Yes, to get the max.
This is what all the other guys, like, this is what Kawhi Leonard did.
This is what Horford did.
This is what Horford did. Okay, so breaking news, but not substantial. Back to the substantial news, though. Is this a huge loss for you guys? Are you guys the kind of guys who will just basically have The Office playing in the background of something anytime, any day? Is this a big loss?
This is a very big loss.
Big Office guy?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Not to have it on Netflix, be able to watch any episode. It's going to suck.
I like The Office.
Love it. Don't just like it. You know, back to something. I hate to just, you know, go off the Netflix real fast. This goes back to what we were talking about, the superlatives. We didn't really get into the superlatives with Chris Lowe. Maybe it's something we can save for tomorrow. But I thought this was interesting.
Okay.
I poked the bear. I'm going to do it. Throw it out there. The cushiest close to the season, according to our guy Chris Lowe. Cushiest close means the easiest close to the season on their schedule. Kentucky gets this superlative. Kentucky closes the season with a November that has a distinct Volunteer State flavor to it. Three of the four games are at home. Tennessee, November 9th. UT Martin, November 23rd. Louisville, November 30th. Will all come to Kroger Field. And the only away game is Vanderbilt on November 16th. None of UK's four November foes finished with a winning record a year ago.
Chris Lowe, known dullard.
Hey! Chris Lowe, friend of the station.
Just
easy.
Kidding, Chris Lowe.
Easy.
Just kidding.
Easy on the Chris Lowe slander.
Just kidding.
I was just thinking that, like, I'm not the only person who thinks that it might be kind of tough for Tennessee at the end of the season to go up there. He thinks that's an easy finish for Kentucky. And he's an expert.
I will say, like, maybe some of the national media disagrees, but, man, like, I really just believe that at the heart of Knoxville, people believe that you should not be losing to Kentucky.
No, you should not be. I will never say that you should be.
I mean, in Chris Lowe's defense, I mean, he's a Knoxville guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a national guy, but he's here in Knoxville.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's a Knoxville guy.
All I'm saying is in year two, there should be – no reason that you don't beat Vanderbilt in Kentucky. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who the coach at Kentucky is.
Wow.
I give Pruitt a pass in year one for losing to Vanderbilt. I'll give him a pass.
So if he would have lost to both of them in year one, you would have been out on him?
No, I would have given a pass in year one. Year two, there's no excuse. When Kentucky and Vanderbilt are both taking steps back, no.
I will say, I think that, like, it is easy to look at Tennessee in that light and say 4-8, 5-7, like, yeah, they are one of those teams. But we believe that Tennessee could take a huge step forward. So we'll see when the season plays out. One more segment left of The Blitz, taking you into talk sports. We will be right back after the break.
Final segment on the Blitz on this Wednesday morning.
Yup.
Good stuff. Man, not to miss anybody. Sometimes people send stuff to the DMs that I don't see. First off, Tim Reed says, "I agree with you. 1995 game in Lexington proves your point. We only won by three in a season where we went 11-1." And then the other day we were talking about, you know, Cooper Mays, and actually one of somebody who officiated him. We were talking about that he plays a little bit. We feel like a little bit smarter. This guy said he officiated both. Cade and Cooper multiple times throughout their career at Catholic. He had Cooper three times last year alone, and he's simply smarter. Plays with the same edge as Cade, just does it within the whistle guidelines of the game and less penalties. But he doesn't seem quite as mean, though, to be honest. So, smarter, plays the same intensity, maybe doesn't have that same mean, spirited fierceness that Cade Mays might have, but very smart.
Little bit of not, I mean, it broke last hour, but
breaking news.
I wouldn't say, I mean, it's not just a little nugget. See if I can find it. Where'd it go?
Chicken.
So,
nugget.
The NCAA is expected to approve new guidelines, making it more difficult for transfers to gain immediate eligibility through waivers.
Huh.
So, that vote is expected to take place later today. Just in time for Aubrey Solomon and Yurosh Plavsic and D'Angelo Gibbs. So
this could make it harder for Plavsic to become eligible for next year?
And Aubrey Solomon.
Okay. Yeah, kind of silly. If you haven't heard, also, you know, we talked about the NCAA, Mark Emmert kind of going battling with the California State Assembly over this Fair Pay Act. Well, you know, they talked about it, and we were saying, who's going to fold first? Well, it looks like with the story that came out last night that the NCAA may be willing to fold first. NCAA President Mark Emmert recently lobbied two California State Assembly committees to postpone the bill that would allow college athletes to profit off their names. It would be implemented in 2023 if passed. But he went on to say the bill, let's see, find it. When contrasted with current NCAA rules, as the bill threatens to alter materially the principles of intercollegiate athletics and create local differences that would make it impossible to host fair national championships. But he went on to say, we humbly ask that they postpone it because the NCAA, with the pressure that California has put on them, has already assembled a board with a committee to discuss paying players for their likeness. So it seems like, as much as we thought, NCAA, California, who's going to fold first? Well, looks like the NCAA might fold first because they already have a plan in place that they're reviewing this summer. So maybe California kind of helped out, you know, student athletes with like going ahead and providing the groundwork for this.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about it yesterday. If more states kind of follow suit with California, then what's the NCAA going
to
do?
Yeah, he went on to say, we have recently enhanced medical and mental health care, addressed gaps in student-athlete financial aid, and addressed the time demands of our student-athletes. However, addressing NIL, which is the bill, must be developed and implemented in a manner that maintains the clear demarcation between professional and college sports and ensures the education remains the cornerstone of college sports and the student-athlete experience. But looks like the NCAA is already planning to sit down and talk about this because of California, I believe.
If you haven't heard, a historical marker has been placed near the river where two men in southern Mississippi said that they were abducted by aliens in 1973.
What was that about aliens not existing, Rick?
I think. Yeah. Charles Hickson and Calvin Parker said that they were on the shores of the Pascagoula, whatever this word is, river, when what appeared to be aliens pulled them on board of a UFO, examined them for about 30 minutes, and then returned them to Earth. However, there was no other files claimed because there was no evidence of it. I think that these two dudes were just on a trip. There you go. But apparently
on a trip,
Mississippi says that you know, they're going to put a commemorative plaque.
A commemorative.
Good for them.
A commemorative plaque
a commemorative
at the site where they were abducted.
Plaque.
A state, Rick. The government is acknowledging it, Rick.
It's not true.
Have they ever acknowledged Bigfoot? No.
False. Didn't T-Cart prove on our show yesterday that that was true? That we have established that their credibility? There's a lot unfolding about our favorite topic here on the Blitz, as we've established.
It's a recurring
about two
one.
Months into the show, aliens versus Bigfoot.
It's a recurring topic, but
Branson is not his favorite.
There is
huh?
a book about these guys' experience. I'm interested in it. I'll prove it all wrong.
No, you won't.
I guarantee you that I could write a book. I could say right now.
Do it.
That you and I went to the Bluffs, we got abducted by aliens for 30 minutes, and I could write a great book just about all our details. But you know what?
I don't
every single one of them are made up.
I don't think you could.
I could make up an entire book just like this guy, Calvin Parker, probably did.
You don't know that, Rick.
He probably went on a crazy trip.
Are you calling
him
a liar?
And I'm not saying it's the kind of trip where you go from one place to the other.
Are you calling him a liar? Calling him a liar, Rick?
I'm saying I don't believe him. I'm saying I don't believe him. Calvin Parker.
Say it to his face?
865-546-8200.
That's not, saying it to his face.
Call him a liar. Say it. If you don't believe him, call him a liar.
I'm saying I don't believe you.
Wow.
I do not believe you.
You don't have it in to call him a liar.
Why do you hate Calvin so much?
I don't need to go around calling people liars. I just need to say I don't believe him.
Why do you hate Calvin so much?
No way do I hate Calvin.
What did Calvin do to you?
In no way do I hate Calvin. Calvin Parker here, a local Mississippi man. I'm just saying I don't believe him. I do not believe that he was abducted by aliens on October 11th, 1973.
Were you there?
I was not.
It was the 70s, man.
How do you know?
It was the 70s, man. What was happening in the 70s?
Aliens.
A lot of usage.
Usage?
I believe that they went on a trip.
You keep saying this, Rick. It's very vague.
Just put it out there what you're talking about.
I think you know exactly what I mean.
It's very vague. It's a very vague term.
They went on a trip. And not the kind where you go from point A to point B.
Rick thinks they were tripping acid.
What?
Yeah! Obviously.
What? Acid?
Obviously.
Acid?
They were on something crazy. They
no
thought
way.
They got abducted by aliens.
Nah,
they
dude.
Went to the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department said, goodbye, good night.
As Michael Jordan says, stop it. Stop it.
Which is more likely
you have a problem.
That two guys in the 70s were using or that they were abducted by aliens and examined for 30 minutes? You tell me.
I don't know.
There's an easy answer.
The state of Mississippi says, yeah, we believe you were putting up a plaque.
Yeah. Things you hate to see, Rick not believing in aliens once
that
again.
That right there is the Blitz for today, June 26th. Talk Sports coming up next. Stick around for that. We will see you tomorrow, same time, same place. The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.